Welcome, everybody. This is Deanna Nagel, and today we're going to talk about whether your phone conversations are secure and confidential when you're speaking with your clients. So this is a pretty dense topic, so I'm going to try to make it as simple as possible. And also, even before we get started, just a few words to sort of feel like you have to have a soft place to land when we're done. No worries. Whatever method of voice communication you're using, you're fine. The main point with this call is to make sure that your clients are properly informed. And so we'll talk about that a little later. But I don't want people to get on the call and think, oh my goodness, this is such dense information. How do I ever make sense of it? My background, I was a psychotherapist for 20 years, and for most of those years, I practiced online therapy, and I was a leader in the telemental health field. So that's why I have this background. And I actually had to do a little research to come up to speed on the latest developments and the latest thoughts on how we should use phones properly for security reasons. So we are coaches, and we're talking about the coaching profession, but I'm going to lean into my information that I've had for years through being in the telemental health field as well. And there may be some people on the call who are both therapists and coaches. So when we think about telemental health, the big issue with telemental health, regardless of what method of delivery you're using, is whether it's HIPAA compliant. And HIPAA is a federal law that mandates that all patient health information is secure and confidential. And so, without causing a lot of confusion, there are some methods of delivery that are confidential and secure, but they're not HIPAA compliant because there's a certain amount of contracting and paperwork that has to happen between companies to make a company completely HIPAA compliant. So basically what I'm saying is you could be using a system, a phone system, a voice over internet protocol system that is completely encrypted and secure, and it's still not HIPAA compliant. And the good news is, as coaches, we don't have to worry about that. So what I'm going to do first is break down the various types of voice communication we can use that we typically think of as a phone. And the first one is one that most of us, almost all of us, should be familiar with, and yes, unless we're very young, and that is the landline. And the landline is the phone that gets plugged into a jack in the wall, and it goes through telephone wires, fiber optic wires. Okay, so that's years ago we had the phones that you actually had to dial, and it was the round dial, and then we got to punch numbers, and now you may still have a landline, but you also have a handheld with that. And the handheld phone does not have a cord. So by far the most secure method of communicating via phone is a landline phone, because the only way the landline phone can be tapped into is literally with a wire tap, and that physically has to go on your landline phone. However, your handheld phone that's attached to your landline can be intercepted. So one of the ways a handheld phone can be intercepted is like a police scanner. So if you have a scanner or the police are scanning, they can pick up conversations that are occurring via a handheld phone. All right, so the most secure, absolutely, is picking up your phone that has a cord attached to the phone, and the phone is attached to a phone jack through your telephone company. That's number one. Number two is a landline phone that is through your cable company. And your cable company, it's very similar to a landline phone through the phone company, but they're using different wiring, and it goes through a private network until it reaches the very end, and then it uses public internet service. So most say that if you have a cable phone, like through Mediacom or Warner or some Charter, some of the other bigger cable companies that phone is just as secure as a landline phone. But keep in mind, if you're on a handheld, the same interception may take place. Okay, so we'll just lump those into landlines. So best practice, if you can, is to use a landline when you can. However, for it to be completely secure, your client would have to also be on a landline. All right? So then the second type of phone that we're most familiar with is our cell phones. And the first cell phones that any of us had were analog. Now they are digital, but they used to be analog. So years ago, you could pick up phone conversations via cell phone on a scanner, just like you could the handheld phones. Now that they are digital, that's not the case. So it's unlikely that your digital cell phone is going to be intercepted by a scanner or that anybody's going to just inadvertently pick up those conversations. However, digital phones can be tapped in a different way than landline phones can be. So people who do hacking for sport might decide to hack your phone, and the likelihood of that is slim to none. So again, I'm not raising the flag, I'm just explaining the various systems. So that's your digital phone. Along with your digital phone, you do other things with your digital phone like texting, and that's a different story. That's different than voice conversation. So if you're texting, you're actually using, you're backing up information on a system, and that's where the medical profession and the health profession says, oh, that has to be encrypted. That's HIPAA patient health information. So there are certain apps you can use that actually secure your text messages. And there are also ways to secure a digital phone. However, for coaching purposes, that's probably not necessary. So now we've talked about 2/3 forms of phone. One is the landline via your telephone company, the landline via your cable company, and then finally your digital phone that most of us have and most of us use exclusively. What a lot of people don't know about is this fourth type of VoiceOver, which is VoiceOver Internet Protocol called VoIP. And VoIP, most people, if they know VoIP, they know it via Skype. So if you have used Skype and you have not had the video on and you've only had the voice on, that is VoiceOver Internet Protocol. And that's end-to-end transmission that can be encrypted. Not all VoiceOver Internet Protocol is encrypted. Skype is, and Skype's one of those oddballs that while it's encrypted, it's not HIPAA compliant because of the paperwork involved that's necessary. But for purposes of coaching, if you want a secure and encrypted phone line between two people, you can simply use Skype and just not use the video. All right? So that's probably the most popular VoiceOver Internet Protocol system that everybody's most familiar with. There are other VoiceOver Internet Protocol systems that are absolutely HIPAA compliant, and they are encrypted. And when we talk about encrypted, we want encryption end-to-end from user to user. So if you're using Skype, so is your client. And if you're using another VoiceOver Internet Protocol, so is your client. And so an example of one that is encrypted, and they have a free version, is called VC. And I will put this on the handout that everybody can have access to. But it's vvictor.com. And that is a healthcare HIPAA-compliant platform that you can use with your clients. Not necessary, but it's available to you, as are other options. You can also use Google Voice. You can even use Facebook Voice. So you may, if you're on Facebook and you pull up your message, chat message, you'll see a little, looks like a recorder, and you can click that, and you can either just use voice or use the video as well. So that's a real quick and dirty summary of the various ways we can use audio. AKA phone, with our clients. The main thing that you should be doing with your clients is making a statement, and that statement can be, depending on the type of practice you have, making a statement in your coaching agreement about phone communication. And it may be as simple as, I use a digital phone, and that's not necessarily 100% secure, but in my opinion, nothing is. Or you can give, what I do with my clients is I give them a choice. I say, we can use the landline phone, we can use digital phone, or we can go stealth and use something like VC, and I leave it up to the client. And I think often that's the easiest way to go. Most of my clients just want to use their cell phones, and I'm on my landline at home, and that's how I do my sessions. But if you want to put an extra level of confidentiality and, a way for your clients to feel more comfortable about the call, then give them choices. If you would like to use Skype, or if you'd like to take the security up a notch, we can use another encrypted version like VC, which means you would have to set up your own account. So that's just, and that's me just talking very casually about how you might introduce this into your coaching agreement. But really the main point is to just let your clients know that there are forms of communication that are not secure. But at the same time, if we normalize that, conversations that occur in an office aren't necessarily secure either, because few people can walk by and hear. So, we could take it to the absolute level of ridiculousness, and then nobody would be served. And so I often would say in trainings with therapists, in some third world countries, if they couldn't use their cell phones because of government regulations, then there would be entire countries that would go without services. So we also have to put this in perspective of making services available to our clients that are easy to access, without turning it into a somersault for both us and them. So I think that's the bulk of what I wanted to talk about. I know there were some questions that were sent in, and I think based on what I just said, I think I covered all of the questions that were specifically asked. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up for questions from anybody. Anybody have any questions or concerns about what I've said?
This is Mary. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mary. I'll go next.
This is great. This is great information. I have a very inclusive agreement that I use with organizations and then individual clients. And so for me now to be able to put something in there about the phone, that's probably what I'm most interested in. And how important is that to do, to have something in the agreement?
Well, I'm biased based on my background, so I think it's important.
Okay.
But, again, we are coaches. We're not regulated by federal law to do it. I just think it's a good idea to do it.
Well, yeah, my partner, his records were subpoenaed from one of his client got sued. And so, we are protected, and yet I think our agreements are important. So you have language that you particularly use in your agreement?
Yes, I do. It covers all technology.
Oh, great. Is that something that we would have privy to?
I can send it to ILCT, and we can go from there. I'll see if I can put it on the handout that I send out.
Oh, that would be great. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hey, Deanna. It's Kim from New Jersey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I have actually Well, I have one question to start with. One of the new things that I'm seeing around on the cell phone providers is they're doing a combination cell as well as Wi-Fi use by the phone.
Yes.
Will that change anything? I mean, it's still digital, obviously.
Wi-Fi means you're using the Internet, so yeah. You need to think in terms of the Internet being more easily hacked than, say, a landline or an encrypted voice over Internet protocol. So VoIP is via Internet, but it's encrypted.
So if your phone is using your Wi-Fi, because that's one service I saw, the phone actually, when you're in a Wi-Fi spot, will use the Wi-Fi to make calls, not just get data.
Right.
So is that considered a voice over IP?
No. No. Okay. Voice over Internet protocol is a totally separate way to make a call. And if you're doing it from your cell phone, you will have a voice over app. So, for instance, you would be tapping your Skype app or your VC app. So if you're at, for instance, like a Panera Bread, and you're using their, you tap into their Wi-Fi, and you're making a phone call from that Wi-Fi, that is a public access Wi-Fi. That's even less, that's the least secure of any method you could use.
Interesting, because it's not, because I actually have the system, and it is, you do not have an app on your phone that you use like Skype. It actually does it as a straight phone call. And it transfers when you walk out of my house away from my Wi-Fi, for example, or my business away from my Wi-Fi. It transfers directly from Wi-Fi to cell service without dropping the call.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so if you wanted to, you know, just make it a little more secure, I know on my phone I can just swipe down and click off the Wi-Fi, and then I'm using the towers.
You're just using the tower. And sometimes the coverage isn't good, so Wi-Fi is better. That's kind of where it happens, why I have to have it. Okay, well, I just was curious if that's how that works, if that becomes voice over IP or not. All right, thanks.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, we necessarily need to inundate our clients with all of this techie talk, but if we can just put something in our agreements that let people, you know, alert people to you know, be aware that not all forms of technology are as secure as the next.
Mm-hmm. Deanna, can I ask a quick second question?
Sure.
Because I know a number of people who are coaches are also counselors or therapists.
Right.
What is the requirement, the requirements then at that point, if you were doing coaching with someone, are you still required to stay at the highest level, meaning what your counseling or therapy license requires?
Well, that would,
you have to do HIPAA?
We could probably have another entire phone call on that, but there's that, in my, I think that's a split, there's two camps for that. One says you follow the highest level license or certification that you hold, and you aspire to those that scope of practice. The other would say, well, if you're a therapist and you're a coach, you've got those two separate entities separated. You've got two different agreements, and so it's a separate issue altogether. So okay. I think that's more philosophical than anything we could pin down. If anybody's read my stuff, you know kind of where I fall with that. But, you know, I think as long as you are clear with your client what your role is with that client, then you're okay.
Well, thank you. Deanna,
can I add something to that?
Sure.
This is Melissa in Sarasota, and I agree with everything you've said. And I had reason to have to talk to my risk management company about some paperwork that I was putting together for a coaching practice. And that what they told me, and so this is Florida and, you know, this particular company, but what they told me is if there's a lawsuit that goes to the higher courts, the higher court would hold you to the highest standard degree that you hold. You know, the standards of the highest degree that you hold. So I wonder about And I'm not sure about this. Do coaches also have to be covered by malpractice? And if so, would that mean, for example, that I should follow what my company told me, which doesn't necessarily apply to anyone else, but it applies to me?
Well, and what they told you is what I believe. And the problem is we have no case law. So, but I believe if I were dragged into court from a client who I had a coaching agreement with, push come to shove, my license.
Your higher
is going
degree,
to be, yes.
Your license.
My
degree,
license
yeah.
is going to be what dictates what happens. So, so there's that answer.
Okay. Yeah. And then there's the other philosophical camp.
Exactly. So, you know, you did exactly what I advise people to do, coaches and therapists, to seek, you know, at least an initial legal consultation. I mean, we do that when we set up any kind of business. We should be doing that.
Right.
You know, if you open a local hardware store in your community, you probably are going to have some legal consult just to make sure all your I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And so I think we should all do that when we go into private practice just to make sure we're on the page we need to be on.
Yeah, but
unfortunately,
if we open a hardware store and we also happen to be a therapist, it's unlikely that we're going to be sued as a therapist if we're selling hammers.
Based on my experience in the field of therapy, somebody might find a way to do that.
That's probably true. I'm laughing because coaching people, it's a difficult. They're close to each other enough that sometimes they cross the line. Unlike say. Selling hardware.
Oh. Right.
Yeah, I think that the issue there is should we use outside consultants? And I think, you know, we would all probably say the answer is yes. If we feel the slightest twinge at all about anything, we should consult somebody. That's
right,
why we're all on this phone call, for example.
Yeah, exactly. And that's your due diligence. And and not only consult, but document that you consulted. So that if there's ever any question, you know.
Yes.
If you're licensed and something happens and you are brought before your licensing board, if you've demonstrated that, I checked this out 6 ways to Sunday and this is the conclusion I came to, the board is more likely to be on your side than if you've just gone out there, renegade and set your practice up without doing any work to make sure you're doing it right.
Exactly, yeah.
I have just a clarifying question. This is Ara in Georgia.
Hi.
So, I think I understood all of the different types of calls you were talking about and just wanted to repeat back to you. Digital cell phones are what we're mostly using now these days, and when we're making calls on those to clients or when they are talking on a cell phone, there is the possibility that those calls could be intercepted, but it's unlikely. It would require a high degree of skill or a hacker or something like that. So as long as we're disclosing that to our clients, that's not really a high-risk thing we're exposing them to make a call on a cell phone. Is that correct?
That's the latest that I have read, is that it's not as high-risk as we once thought it was, but it is not encrypted.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
This is Mona in Georgia.
Hi, Mona.
Are you familiar with DoxyMe?
No.
Okay. You mentioned VC.
Right.
I'm a therapist in Georgia working towards the telemental health certification and learned about DoxyMe. It is encrypted and has the HIPAA-compliant agreement, and it is phone and video conference, and that's why I bring it up, is because the other things you mentioned I don't think are HIPAA compliant as far as video conferencing.
VC is, absolutely.
Okay.
VC it was actually created by a couple of physicians, but there are so many telemental health platforms out there now that I have a list, a website that lists all of them and tells you you know, what they are compliant for, and I always include that link on the list, so I will do that as well. So for coaches that are not therapists but who want to make sure they're following the stealthiest ability to keep their client phone calls confidential, then using a HIPAA-compliant platform is probably the best option, but not, again, not necessary.
Yeah, this is Tamika. Could I ask a question?
Sure.
If you are using a conference call company, say, for instance, and you're calling from your landline and the other individual, of course, would be calling from a cell phone or whatever, are those considered, like free conference call or whatever, are those considered secure ways to have conversation?
Well, if you're calling from your landline, my guess is that your half of the conversation is secure.
Okay.
But if they're calling from their cell phone, then it's not secure. And keep in mind that a lot of times those calls are being recorded.
Right. Because we have that ability to record from those lines, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, an end-to-end encryption with voice over internet protocol means it's encrypted from your app or your login to your client's login, and you're on the same platform. Whereas mm-hmm. if you're on a landline and they're on a cell phone, what you say may be secure, but what they're saying may not be.
Okay. Even if they call into this particular line.
Right.
Okay.
Because they're still talking from their cell phone.
Okay.
Now, I want to emphasize again, you can make a voice over internet protocol phone call that's encrypted from your phone, from your cell phone, provided you have the app.
Okay.
So it would be the VC app, and you would click that, and then you're logging into that system, and they're logging into the system, and you're both end-to-end encrypted.
Oh, okay. Okay. And I can just get that on my cell phone or whatever. Okay.
Right.
All right. And then would I have to get that on my landline too, or the landline is automatically secure?
The landline is not encrypted, but, no, you can't get VoiceOver on your landline. It's two separate processes. Landline is either using fiber optic cable or fiber optic telephone cable, or it's using copper cable vision, so to speak, and VoIP is using the internet.
Okay. All right.
And then cell phone is using either the cell phone towers, or if you're on a wireless network, you're using the internet.
Okay.
So somebody had asked, I think it was Kim that said, if I'm making a call from a wireless network. Mm-hmm. So follow me for a minute. You're at Panera Bread, and you're on their wireless network, and you go to VC to log in.
Mm-hmm.
Other people may be able to tap into your login information, even though after you've made that phone call, the voice over internet call is encrypted, but they may have tapped into you signing in. Does that make sense? Because you're on a free internet service, which is why they always say, like, don't sit in Starbucks and do your banking.
And, Deanna, just to be clear with that, I think some people don't realize, if you have your phone or computer, like your laptop, automatically signed into a website, you're still sending those passwords out. So
yes.
People can still hack those, even if you're not literally typing them on your keyboard.
Right. Anybody else have any questions? I know it's not the most seductive topic.
Deanna, somebody brought up something that I want to ask a question. It's Kim again. Someone brought up recording your phone calls, and I came in a few moments late to the call, so you might have mentioned this. But whenever you're on some sort of platform or site that lets you record, does that become non-confidential because it's now been recorded, or does it depend on the platform?
It depends on the platform. If you are on a HIPAA-compliant platform, it is secure.
Right. Okay.
If you're not, that means that that recording is being maintained on a server, just like a text or just like chat or just like your email. So that recording becomes hard, you know, it's not no longer, you know, when we have a conversation, the conversation's gone. But if you record it, there's a record of it. So if you're a therapist, that record has to be maintained on a HIPAA-compliant server in a locked, I mean, the equivalent is a locked file cabinet.
Mm-hmm. Because the reason I ask is I know for a number of coaches will record our calls and send the recordings to our clients for their review, for them to be able to have and listen to at any point that they want to go back to.
Right.
So that there are, so you're saying there are services, if you want those to be totally confidential, that you could use for recording calls or even probably video calls.
Yes. However, if you get the recording and send it, and this was our last phone call last month,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and send that recording via email, just regular email, it's not secure and encrypted. Anybody has access to that if they tap in.
Okay. Thank you.
So, but I want to normalize all this for a minute because we could do the deep dive and then we'd all just find a tree in the woods to meet our clients under where nobody could hear us.
I think
a boat out in the middle of the sea is better for me.
Deanna, this is Laverne. And the question I have is that, so you, I hear you saying that the recording, like now, it, we're being recorded, or would you have to encrypt it for it not to be recorded? Sorry for the phone call, but coming in on another phone. So is that what I hear you saying?
No, I'm saying if you, and again, this is probably not an issue that most coaches need to be concerned about, but if you are recording a session,
uh-huh.
I'll just talk from a therapist's point of view, then you need to record that session okay. on a platform that is HIPAA compliant. So the recording is kept safe and secure on an encrypted server. That
okay.
HIPAA that is deemed HIPAA compliant.
Okay, so
and,
like...
And again, that's not something that coaches need to be concerned about.
Okay, so for instance, as a coach, we are now talking, you and I and a few others. Is this mm-hmm. call being recorded?
Yes, it is, and it's going to be made public, but we're not talking about coach-client issues. So this okay. is an educational call. So if somebody wanted to use a conference call line like this for their coach-client calls and they wanted to know what the parameters were about the recording, they need to call that company because every, you know, just like every HIPAA compliant platform is different, so is every conference call platform.
Okay. So it's being recorded because you want it recorded, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you would have to want it to be recorded for it to be recorded? Is that clear? Is that what you're saying?
That's my understanding for most platforms, but don't take that as 100%. I mean, whatever platform you choose to use,
mm-hmm.
you need to, and this is what I used to tell people all the time, you need to read their terms of use, you need to read their frequently asked questions.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And let me just very briefly tell you why that's important. I'm going to dip into the therapy world for a minute. As a therapist, we are the owner of the record. HIPAA requires that we are the owner of the record and that we keep our records confidential. Skype's terms of use specifically say they own the record. They own what's ever on their server.
Okay.
See, so even though it's encrypted, it's not going to meet the standards set out by HIPAA for a therapist. For a coach, it's probably fine.
Okay. That's quite informative. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Everybody's quiet. Okay, then I'm going to say it's a wrap, and I will, on the handout that I get out, it will have some other articles related to surveillance, more just out of interest, curiosity, but I pretty much run the gamut on the links from the different forms of phone conversations to how these different types of phones can actually be tapped into or hacked. And that, again, that's more just for personal observation and curiosity. It's not something that any of us need to go running into the woods with as coaches, because I think we just need to keep it in perspective. And the main point, again, is just to be sure that we inform our clients that not all forms of technology are as secure as the next.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide within your practice how you want to handle that. So I offer my clients the option to use VC, and I explain what that is, if they so choose.
Great. Thank you so much for this call and all this good information. Yeah. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank
good
you.
Luck That's to everybody.
Excellent.
Thank
you so
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
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 Bye.